Welcome to our new special Wellbeing Podcasts, where every couple of months we will bring you a new and exciting topic to listen to and discuss in your teams. Please take the time to listen and reflect on what you have listened to, but most importantly, enjoy.
Good morning and welcome to the podcast show. This is a special podcast show this morning, one of many that we're going to be doing throughout the rest of the year. This is a special wellbeing podcast, and I'm joined in the studio by some fantastic guests. I've got Anne Fleming, who is the clinical lead nurse for Perth and Kinross's IDART service, which stands for Integrated Drug and Alcohol and Recovery Team. And we've got Charlie Cramner from the Alcohol Drug Partnership within Perth and Kinross, and Alison Ramsey, HR officer with Perth and Kinross Council. And we're here to talk about wellbeing. And over the last couple of years during COVID, I think wellbeing has really went to the top of everybody's list to ensure that everybody's well, keeping well, and taking responsibility also for their own wellbeing. Now, I know within the council, I know within health, and I know within the partnership, there is a lot of really good information out there and a lot of really good links for people to take the time to have a look and improve their wellbeing. But on the show today, this subject we're going to talk about today is often a taboo. And I think over the last couple of years, if it's fair to say, I think mental health has definitely came to light as something that we need to talk about, and mental wellbeing again is something that I think just that opportunity for staff and for the public, people are just more aware. But this subject here, I still think, has a slight taboo. So it's really good that we have these members here today talking on the show, and we're going to talk a bit just about alcohol, a bit about drugs and a bit about substances and what that means actually for us all. I think all of us can probably say, if I'm being honest, and I'll use myself here, all of us can say over Christmas sometimes we maybe overindulge slightly, not just in the Christmas cake, not just in the turkey, but often maybe a wee bit on the drink as well. And I think sometimes we get to January and we think, I'm going to make that change, I'm going to get fitter, I'm going to lose a wee bit of weight, I'm going to cut down on the drink. We probably all say that, but it probably takes all of January, if I'm being honest, probably takes into February for us to do that whole change thing and start to think a bit more about our own well-being and think, what can we do to improve the rest of the year for ourselves? So we've got to take a bit of responsibility for that. So we have three guests here today that are going to help us navigate our way through that. And if anybody is out there, be that a family member, be that yourself, that you're thinking, actually, I could do a bit of assistance with thinking a bit about that, thinking a bit about my drinking, thinking about how do I tackle that. There is nothing wrong with that. The time is now. So we've got three guests here to have that conversation. But I'm going to go straight to Alison, our HR officer within Perth and Kinross, because Alison was actually the one who decided this would be a good topic. This would be a topic to bring to the first wellbeing podcast. So, Alison, if it's okay with you, first I'm going to ask Alison, how are you on this bright, sunny, beautiful morning? Are you well?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Now, I know that you specially came in today to talk about this. So well done to you. Well done to
you.
So thank you for doing that. But I'm just going to start off, if it's okay with, why did you see this being such an important topic at this time? What was it you thought, do you know what, I think we need to maybe put a message out there. We need to get some guests here to have a bit of a conversation about this.
Yeah, thanks, Colin. We just kind of thought, well, the employee's wellbeing is very important in the workplace. And it is at the forefront of all we do in the council. And like you said earlier, now that the employees have returned to work after their festive break, they may be thinking of setting themselves some goals or some resolutions to be healthier in 2022. So we would just like to make employees aware of what's available to them to take care of their own well-being.
Thanks, Alison. I think, it is that bit there that you said about as much as we can offer support, offer advice, offer signposting, I think, as managers, as peers, as other staff members, I think a lot of this sometimes comes down to ourselves as well. We've got to take that bit of self-responsibility. And there's nothing wrong in that. I think that's good. That's recognising yourself that you need to do something. So it's really good then that we have Anne from IDART, the Integrated Drug, Alcohol and Recovery Team, because I think it's important that we have services within Perth and Kinross that are out there to support people. And I think sometimes people think when they hear about social work or health services, especially around substance use, they think, well, that's maybe not me. That's maybe not the me. So I'm going to go first to Anne, ask how you are, Anne, and then come to a question. Anne, how are you today?
Thank you, Colin. I'm very well today, and thank you for inviting me to do this podcast.
Fantastic. So, Anne, first and foremost, I'm going to ask, what is IDART? Who are you?
IDART is the Integrated Drug and Alcohol Recovery Team, and we work with people who use drugs and alcohol dependently and want to change this. IDART's a service in the process of health and social care integration and comprises staff from NHS Tayside and Perth and Kinross social work team. We work in partnership with many other voluntary and public sector agencies in order to provide the best possible care and treatment for the people we work with. IDART offers a range of treatment options to enable people to significantly reduce or stop their drug or alcohol use. This includes nursing, medical and psychosocial interventions, often in combination to enable person-centred and recovery-focused care to be delivered to meet the individual's goals for treatment. As a service, we endeavour to provide the most innovative, safest, evidence-based treatments available in a timely manner and work in partnership with other agencies to enable people to make changes to lifestyle and coping skills they use with support to improve their quality of life. We've recently been supporting people to have more independence away from community pharmacies with the introduction of Buvidal buprenorphine injections. This means that people have more choice regarding employment and lifestyle change, as they're not depending on attending community pharmacies to be dispensed medication. We're also about to pilot a community alcohol detoxification service to enable more choice, as many people either do not want to go into hospital for alcohol detoxification or do not require to do so. IDART works throughout the whole of Perth and Kinross, although our central base is in Perth City. We work Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and liaise with out of our services out with these times. We endeavour to provide an equitable service to people throughout the region. In order to facilitate this, we combine face-to-face meetings, telephone contact and near-me consultations.
Anne, thank you so much. Now, I'm going to come back to you once I've spoke to Charlie. Once I spoke to Charlie, I'm going to come back to you because I think it'd be really interesting to find out how do people refer into IDART, and also as well, I'm sure there's lots of other avenues there as well. But we're going to go to Charlie first, just so that we got listeners can get the feel for everybody on the show here today, because it's so nice, and it's such a nice bright morning as well. It's nice to see all yourselves smiling as well. It's as much as it is a difficult subject, I think we've got to be honest when we're having these conversations. But first and foremost, Charlie, I'm going to ask, how are you, sir?
I'm very good, thank you, Colin. Good morning. It is a lovely sunny morning here in the Costa del Broti Ferry. The sun is shining through my kitchen window, so much so I've even had to close the blinds, which is, you know, until I step outside, I think it might actually be warm, but it's lovely. It's lovely. Lovely morning.
Fantastic. So, fantastic. That's lovely. Lovely to hear. But again, very similar to asking, we love an acronym. We love an acronym, don't we? We love a number, a couple of letters put together. There that means something, and to the outside world, I think sometimes nobody actually knows what they ever mean, and we just use them all the time. So I'm going to ask first, who is the ADP? Is it just you? Is it more than that? Is it yes? What is the ADP?
It's a good question. It's certainly not just me. Yeah, that would be a problem. I don't know. I suppose most people have seen Friends. So if you've seen Friends, you know one of the big questions in Friends was, what did Chandler Bing do? What was his job? What does he do? And I feel a wee bit like that whenever I say, I'm the ADP coordinator or lead officer. And people kind of smile and then just think, what is he? What is this? What is this? What is, you say, what is this acronym? So the ADP is the Alcohol and Drug Partnership. And it's really a multi-agency group of organisations who work together to try and tackle alcohol and drug issues. We're tasked with delivering the Scottish Government's strategies on drug and alcohol, but we also deliver our own local drug and alcohol strategies as well. The people that make up the ADP, or the organisations that make up the ADP, there's lots, and I can't name check everybody, because if I do, I'll miss somebody out and they'll get upset. But some of the organisations involved include, he says, being diplomatic. So Health and Social Care Partnership, Perth and Kinross Council, Scottish Prison Service, loads of fantastic third sector organisations, and also, really importantly, folk who have lived experience of substance use as well. So lots of key players. And ADP, very, very quickly, we've got four key strategies. So there's four things that we're currently looking at. We're looking at prevention and early intervention. We're looking at recovery. We're looking at children, young people and families, and we're also focusing on a public health approach to justice. So between all the organisations involved, we're trying to take forward these four key priorities to really tackle some of the issues that we've got locally and nationally to do with substance use.
And can I just stay with yourself, Charlie, because I think this is about wellbeing, and this podcast is not about scaring people at all. It's about trying to encourage people to look at their own health, look at their well-being, look at their family's health and well-being, and offer assistance and seeking out assistance if required, I think is probably a good way of putting that. But it is still a bit of that sort of taboo subject, I think, when we talk about substance use. And I think even with our guests here today, Anne, clinical lead nurse for IDAR, and yourself, coordinator of ADP, people always think, well, that's not me. But just again, for our listeners, you know, what is the sort of, I'm going to ask this, what has been the impact of actually COVID, and has there been an impact of COVID in relation to substance use or alcohol use in the last 2 years?
I think the answer is yes, but it's a tentative yes, because you do have to be careful. The research in the area is still pretty new. And one of the problems, one of the challenges, I think, with COVID we've seen is that there's been a lot of research done very, very quickly. And it takes a while to build up a body of evidence. So we need to be really careful. There's lots of weird and wonderful newspaper headlines on the go at the moment. I think the one I saw recently, I think that one suggested that people that drink red wine or wine are less likely to get COVID than people that drink beer. Now... That may provide comfort to some listeners and distress to others. However, if you read the actual research, what you'll realise is that it's nothing to do with what you drink or when you drink it. It's actually to do with your level of income and your social status. So people who typically are in higher income groups have been less likely to experience COVID than people who are in lower income groups. And it just so happens that people in different income groups may be more likely to have different types of alcoholic drink. So you've got to be really careful when you're looking at newspaper headlines and things to do with COVID, because there's a lot of junk out there There's a lot of clickbait headlines and things like that, which get people's attention and go around Facebook and go around all the different social media channels, but actually don't really mean what they say. But there has been an impact. I think that there's been some degree of impact. Whether the impact of COVID on substance use is sustained as we move forward is difficult to tell. You know, if we do ever manage to get back to what we can call normal, will everything return to normal, or will there be some things which changed over the pandemic that will remain? So, for example, if people were drinking a bit more during the pandemic, will that be sustained as we move to some kind of normal? It's difficult to say. There is some research out there which does suggest, though, that there have been some impacts, as I say, whether that's sustained or not, we don't know. But for example, there was a study from the University of Stirling that showed that at the start of the pandemic, ambulance call-outs for drink-related incidents plummeted. Of course they did, because everything closed down. That's not a surprise. Perhaps what's more surprising and concerning, though, was that it didn't take long for alcohol-related ambulance call-outs to return to the levels that they were at previously. And what was happening was that people, rather than drinking in pubs and clubs or outside, people were drinking in their own homes. And that was leading to a similar number of ambulance-related alcohol call-outs. So it just shows you that there's an impact, which, whether that's sustained or not, we don't know. But that is something that has happened significantly. And that's not something that necessarily affects only one group of people, just as you were saying. You know, it's easy to talk about substance use and folk think, oh, that's nothing to do with me. That's only a very, very specific group of people. But for folk in the ambulance service who are attending these call-outs, that affects all different types of people in the population. It's not related just to one specific group. So the stuff that we're talking about here is something that impacts all of us in different ways, which is why it's important to talk about things like that today and to focus not just on maybe the really high tariff problematic things that you would think about, but to think about substance use in terms of everybody and how it might affect our lives.
Charlie, obviously that's why we have the three of you as guests on the show, because I couldn't have said it better than what you just said there. And I think that was very well put. And it is funny, although, and I'm going to say this first and foremost, I should put a wee disclaimer that comes along the bottom of the screen if we were on TV, saying that the three members or the three guests on the show and the host today are not the alcohol and drug police. We are just concerned for everybody's well-being. Should probably be the wee ticker tape that comes along the bottom there. But when you said about that headline saying that people with are less likely to get COVID if they drink red wine other than beer, probably our three guests here all smiled at that as well, because that's what we do, and that's okay. It's just also recognizing some of that, as you said there at the end of what you were saying, just about it does affect everybody in different ways, whether that's a family member, whether that is yourself. There is that effect on communities, so it is worth having those conversations and being a bit more open about it. So I'm so glad that we're doing that, which brings me nicely back to Anne, really nicely back to Anne. So Anne, we heard a bit about what IDART does, and really nice just from what Charlie was saying there, and the reasons that Alison thought this was a good topic to bring to the here. But if someone was considering that they have been looking at their I'm going to say their alcohol intake, or and you can expand on this slightly as well. We know as well that medication and alcohol is often used, unfortunately, because people try and find to reduce the pain, reduce the anxiety, whatever that may be. And so there's two parts to this question. Is one, what do people do to refer to IDART? And the other part as well is just leading on from Charlie as well. Have you, as a substance use service, have you been aware of an increase in alcohol referrals coming in, and other substances as well? But have you, through the COVID, or is it still too early to even say that from what Charlie was saying as well?
Thank you, Colin. What we have noticed within the IDART service is that referrals have increased by almost 20% since the beginning of COVID. There is no indication at this point that they're levelling off or decreasing markedly. So that has meant that we've had to look at our whole service design, how we work, our staffing, our structure, whether we have appropriate resources to cope with that need. And we've had to change the way that we work due to COVID anyway, and there have been a lot of positives to that, in that we've increased telephone and near me consultations and home visits far more than we would have used those means of working with people pre-COVID. So it's meant that we've had to look at a lot of changes, and a lot of those changes have enabled us to interact with people we work with in a different way and use different approaches. So a lot of that's been quite positive, but definitely we have experienced a marked increase in referral rate, mainly for alcohol. So you'd ask me also how you refer to IDART, and I'd like to give a little insight to what you can expect following a referral. So referral to IDART is currently via telephone. We have two dedicated numbers, 079-200-70845 and 079-200-70797. These phones are manned by both IDART team members and other partnership agencies, who will ask relevant information in a sensitive manner to enable the best and most appropriate service to support you to meet your goal regarding your drug or alcohol use. 8 referrals discussed at a Teams meeting every morning, which is attended by members of the IDART team and the other partnership agencies supporting people at different stages of change and levels of dependency. The information obtained is treated with the utmost confidentiality, and information shared is in relation to interventions required to support safety and treatment for that individual. The referral is then allocated to the most appropriate agency for initial assessment appointment.
Thank you, Anne. Very good. And I will come back to yourself, Anne, in a minute, but I'm going to go round because I would like to ask everybody, just because I think Anne's gave a really good description of IDART. There are 2 phone numbers, and it's not just, as you said, Charlie, and I think I probably have said through this show as well, is people often think that's not for me. That's not for me. But what we have is, IDART is one service, and we've just heard IDART work very closely with our third sector partners as well, within the partnership, and with our council colleagues and with our health colleagues, and ensuring the best care support is there for the person that seeks the assistance and help. But I'm going to come to yourself first, Alison, and then Charlie. Alison, what other support or information is out there, and how can staff access that? Now, I know you're from Perth and Kinross Council, and we've got the partnership within there as well, but I'm sure very similar for staff in the council, there'll be a similar for health as well. And we can maybe go back to Anne being a health representative in that, but for yourself, Alison, what else can be done?
Yeah, thanks, Colin. So if you're worried about your own or someone else's use of alcohol or drugs, there are organisations there that can help. There's a lot of useful information on the council's website, on the employee wellbeing page under employment information. There's a suite of policy documents, how-to guides, which should be able to provide you with information around the associated procedures required. We also hold information about supportive services and agencies that can be utilised to support colleagues. Employees can also log into the PALM Assist, where they will find a lot of helpful information for their own wellbeing. PALM Assist, it's an external, independent and confidential counselling and wellbeing service, which is free for council employees. They can be contacted 24/7, 365 days a year by calling 0800 882 4102 or at www.palm-assist.co.uk and entering a code PKC1, and you can log in and create yourself an account.
Thank you, Alison. That does very much so, yeah, and I think it's good. It's good that people know that. There is the bit there as well. You need a wee bit of time sometimes to do this. So one of the ideas of this podcast as well is around that well-being, and we're going to look at maybe putting a podcast out every couple of months that will be accompany some slides or some well-being information. And I think also I would encourage team managers, service managers, heads of service and all staff just to take a wee bit of time maybe to reflect, but also to take that time maybe just to seek out some of that advice and information there as well, whether it's to do with this subject or any of the subjects we're going to talk about as well. And just so we've got a wide range there, and people know from, be that from the council, be that from health, a similar thing for health as well, isn't there? That you've got an intranet system that you can use.
There's a wealth of information on the NHS Inform website and a lot of links to other resources that can be really helpful and informative to people.
Perfect, thank you. And Charlie, just you spoke right at the start there, you've got a local responsibility, but you have a national responsibility as well. You were, maybe I'm bigging that up there, but it sounded good when I said national responsibility as well. But from a national point of view, just in relation to the subject that we're talking about today, any useful links, anything else you could suggest? And we can put the links up there on the website as well.
There are lots of national organisations that people can contact, and there's lots of ways to do that. But I think as well, Colin, I think one of the important things is, even for everybody, and what the ADP are trying to do is to get everybody to just have a think about their own drinking habits and whether they think that that's healthy or whether they can make a change. And sometimes it doesn't even involve having to contact an organisation. You know, sometimes it's about taking personal responsibility. It's a really good point you made earlier on. No one is the alcohol police. I am most certainly not the alcohol police in any way, shape or form. But it is really, really difficult. You know, if you think about the culture that we have in this country, so many different events, which are all happy, joyous events that we go to, are linked to alcohol. You know, whether it's a head wedding, whether it's a birth, whether it's, an engagement, a marriage, a death, unfortunately, an 18th birthday, a 21st birthday, so many different cultural events, alcohol is the norm. You just go along and you have a drink. A while ago now, it does seem like a long time ago now, I was at the theatre and I was amazed because if you went and got a drink before the show started, you could order your interval drink before the interval. And the theatre made sure that you got your interval drink there, plonked right on the bar for you, in the 10 minutes of the interval. And it was a fantastic system. It was super efficient, you know, really, really good, and big up to everybody that had organised it. But did you really need a drink in the 10 minute interval from the show? Is that really necessary? You know, could you maybe have just waited till the end, or, you know, had a cup of tea or, you know, an ice cream or something? I don't know, but it just shows you just how many different events and social activities are linked to, you know, are linked to alcohol. If anybody watched, I'm sure lots of people watched the Six Nations match, or watching the Six Nations match, you can't help but notice there is a fair amount of alcohol advertising involved there as well. And that's sport, you know, something which is associated naturally with being healthy and fit. So it's difficult. We have a massive cultural issue with alcohol here. And I think if people can and are able to at times just reflect on maybe how they're drinking, when they're drinking, and, you know, just think about, is that actually the best thing to do for your health and well-being? Or maybe, you know, maybe there are other activities that sometimes it might be a better idea to do. Now, that's one of the things we're trying to do at the ADP, is to push those kind of things as well as obviously making sure that people know what services are available actually nationally or locally.
Fantastic, Charlie. You know, I don't know whether I'm more amazed, Charlie, as we come to the end of the show, how cultured our guests on the show are as well. And I don't know whether you mentioned rugby just to balance off the fact that you'd been at the theatre as well, which is a lovely touch there. So I'm liking the fact that you went to the theatre, but I'll balance it off with the rugby as well, just in case anybody thinks Charlie only goes to the theatre. But I'm impressed with that, Charlie. And don't say any more. You're going to come back with something that you went and played, you know, you went for a run after that or something like that. I'm liking the fact that you went to the theatre there. So before we round up, because it has been a really interesting conversation, and as I said, there is more wellbeing podcasts to come out in the next few months, and we'd really like to hear from people who have any ideas of a subject that we'd like to discuss on the show. It'd be fantastic. I know mental wellbeing, mental health would probably be there as one of the discussions. And people have also talked about weight as well, and their own fitness and their own, and again, I think that's something that would be really interesting as well. But usually what we do on the main podcast show, and this is our new podcast sort of offline from our usual show, we usually ask people for a song choice at the end of it, of what song they would like. And we usually play that on the Lockdown Lounge that John Cassidy does on a Friday afternoon. I think it's now once a month. And that's been a real good thing for people's well-being. But I'm not going to ask that. So as you all have fear in your faces there, if people could see that, actually fantastic. The smiles now from everybody and the sense of relief that I'm not going to ask them for a song, because it always gets people. And I do love that. But I do think what's important, because this is a well-being podcast, is, and all of us through different times have experienced different emotions and I have experienced different things in the last couple of years, some more than others, and I know that personally and I appreciate that. But I'm just going to ask, and what do you do for your well-being at the moment? And I think that would be a good thing and a good start in place for other guests coming on as well. So if it's okay, Alison, I'm going to come to yourself first. What do you do for your well-being? And that can be, it could be visiting friends, that could be socially having a drink. There's nothing wrong in that. But what do you do to, for your well-being?
Thanks, Colin. Put me on the spot.
That's okay.
I like to get out walking. I do a lot of walking. My dog's got my daughter has got a dog. So we go out walking every day at some point in the day, whether it's for an hour or so. And I've just recently got a new granddaughter. So I've been knitting like mad for her. So I love just sitting in front of the TV at night and doing my knitting. It's
fantastic.
So relaxing. Yeah.
See, and that's important. Whether it's the TV part, whether it is just, whether it is the knitting part, there is something there, and you probably have an awful lot of thought while doing that. Now, I'm going to ask this: what is your grandchild's name?
Libby.
Libby. Big shout out to Libby there. Fantastic. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And coming to yourself, what do you do just to relax for your well-being and over the last couple of years?
For me, family life is really important. I have a 13-year-old daughter, and we make a point of sitting down, having tea, catching up on the day. She brings me up to speed and usually talks throughout. She'll do her own teenage thing, but she'll always come down, have a cuddle on the couch, and we'll watch telly for a bit, and she'll usually fall asleep on my lap.
Fantastic.
So to me, that's important. That rounds off my day. That makes whatever has hit me during the day less of a bind, because that's the important bit.
Definitely. And you have such an important job, as all of you do. But I think that part there of spending time with family, and I think COVID has actually created a space for us to maybe remember some of that as well, rather than that sort of running about and doing what we're doing in and out of work, starting at 6 a.m, not getting home to 7 p.m. So I think there has been something special about that as well. So I think that's important to remember. Now, I've left Charlie to the end, because obviously we know that Charlie likes going to the theatre as his way of relaxing. I'm loving this. But Charlie, what else do you do for your well-being?
That's it, you know. Now you know. I just spend my time at the theatre and the rugby. I think a lot of what I'm doing just now is trying to reconnect with family and friends. It's been so difficult over the past, you know, couple of years to actually see people physically and have that kind of social interaction. You know, I mean, obviously we've managed to do things on Teams and you know, on the phone and so on, but nothing actually beats getting out and about and meeting up with people and having those face-to-face conversations. That makes a big difference, and I think that for me that's been really important for my mental health and my mental well-being, and also trying to keep fit. I did do quite a lot of stuff beforehand, couldn't do that sort of stuff during the pandemic, so yeah, there was not as many keep fit activities going on, but now trying desperately to do stuff in the gym despite my advancing years, and still ridiculously playing five-a-sides, which even at one of my COVID vaccinations, the very lovely NHS nurse told me I was too old to be playing five-a-sides. I'm ignoring that health advice, and I'm still trying desperately to do it. So yeah, I think that's hopefully making some sort of a difference.
Fantastic, Charlie. And you know, I'm laughing, but I actually quite enjoy going to theatre as well, and I've experienced that whole drinks there on the bar, and it does just show how much alcohol is part of our lives. And I think this opportunity to do this podcast as our first well-being podcast has really opened my eyes, and hopefully for the listeners as well, just that opportunity to stop and have a think, whether that is while you're doing your knitting, whether that is spending time with family, whether that is you know, playing five-a-side football. I think all these things, you can only do these things if we are still our own well-being is good, and I think that's important. So thank you so much to everybody for coming along today. I really appreciate you taking your time out of your busy lives to come and do this. And thank you, Alison, for coming in your day off. I think that is fantastic. You know, that's brownie points and gold star right there. And a big thank you to our young producer Blair for doing all the editing in the background there. And looking forward to seeing everybody on the show again. So from myself, stay safe, look after your well-being. Thank you, Charlie, for coming on the show.
Thanks, Colin.
Anne, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Colin.
And Alison, can I just say thank you for coming on the show, but also thank you for raising the awareness and bringing the idea of this to the podcast show. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you all. Stay safe. Bye-bye now.